Hello, beautiful people all over the world. This is Christian Schaber, your host of Healthy, Wealthy, and Happy. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. This is Christian here with another informational podcast. And today we actually have a special guest, so it won't just be me speaking. And I'm here to introduce my guy brother, Mr. Kwesi. Go ahead, introduce yourself, my man.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kwesi Huffman. As he just said, I'm his guy brother, and I'm the special guest of the day. So I hope we have a little bit of fun.
Absolutely. So basically, I decided to bring him on because he is what I label as he is. Podcast worthy. Basically, let's go ahead and dive in. You guys know me. I'm going straight to the point. No fillers. Go ahead. Tell people about, one, your childhood, your upbringing, and basically how you put yourself through college. Also about how you've also worked with the many different growers that you worked with, and also just your personal things that you've gone through that other people are probably going through also.
Well, I'm going to start off with how I grew up. I came from a dysfunctional family. My mom and my dad, they basically had sex, popped me out. You feel me? And that's the stars should just tell you how it is. I was homeless for a little bit. You know, we squatted in some houses.
Squatted. Explain what squatting is. So basically, we're from Detroit, Michigan. So I think that'll give people a little bit of context to the story. So explain to them what squatting is, because I don't think
everybody
know what that means.
Squatting is basically, there's an abandoned house and nobody's lived there, but this family or people or group of people, they decide to live in the house. That's going to be their humble abode, and they ain't paying no rent, and they ain't talk to no landlord. They just living for free off the land. So that's what we was doing. We was living in this abandoned house that used to be the dope house of the block. A nigga literally came to the window and knocked on the window. Was like, "Hey, I'm trying to get a dime sack."
For real.
Like, it was the real life dope house of the block. And that's the house we decided to squat in. Until
dangerous.
For real. We met the landlord. And I don't know how my mom got in touch with the landlord. And they let us rent out the house, though, after like a year and a half of us being there.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. I mean, really. When you were up in the hood, there are abandoned, so suburbs, not many abandoned houses, but usually in the suburbs, you definitely can't move in no abandoned house. What else? The neighbors calling the cops or the police. But in Detroit,
that's shit. Anything is possible, God. Anything you want to make possible, it can happen.
Literally. You just got to know the right person. So talk about one thing that I think is iconic is basically like how you and your mom were involved in farming projects in the city of Detroit, and how you also helped establish some farms when you were a younger cat.
Okay.
And explain that transition and how you raised pigs and the business of pigs and the business of, I think you also raised rabbits.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are living in inner cities and have no probably idea that that's something that's possible to do. How did that come about that some black people in the middle of Detroit started farming?
Well, my mom, she's, I don't know why, she's been this free-spirited, agricultural, Afrocentric, down-to-earth woman. And when I was 8 years old, she met this man named Cornelius Williams. And this man named Cornelius Williams happened to be her boyfriend at the time. And he was a farmer from Cassopolis, Michigan. If you don't know where Cassopolis, Michigan is, over there by Kalamazoo. And if you don't know where Kalamazoo at, look it up on the map. But, we came across him, and he had this vision. I don't know why he had this vision, but he had this vision of doing urban farming and turning vacant lots into urban farms in the inner city and teaching people how to basically eat. Because kids, we know one thing, potato chips. But we don't know where potato chips come from. So we asked the kid, what vegetable does potato chips come from? Oh, Lay's.
For real?
Real talk. He couldn't tell you about a potato, but
he said it's from Lay's.
it's from Lay's, though, my nigga. Like, that's where it's from. Like, real talk.
Telling
but
you.
we was already inside of the agricultural community of the city of Detroit. And so what we did was we took what we had. We had a vacant lot across from the Forest Center. It's on Blackwell over on, off of Gratiot, right off Gratiot. It's a Forest Center over there. We took an abandoned lot and we turned it into an urban farm. And then we got it certified natural. So we was the first naturally certified farm in the state of Michigan. And that's in Detroit, Michigan, right off the east side. And what we did there, we started an agricultural program with the 4-H Club. And so we was using their resources and the kids, we was teaching them about food and we was teaching the inner city youth about food and where their food come from, how to grow their food, how to interact with the earth, how to do a pH test, how to test your soil, what this is. Like, what is this? Like, because all we know is go to the grocery store. If you want some food, you go to the grocery store. You go to the corner store. You go to the liquor store. Go grab you a bag of chips. My breakfast before I started this agriculture stuff was a bag of hot Cheetos in, like, Arizona.
You know? Like, no, it's like, and that's serious. And, like, I grew up decent, and I didn't have to eat that. And that's something I didn't even know. Like, I didn't know you really had to, that was the type of diet that you had. And that's why, like, I know there's probably a lot of people listening that they mom is giving them Lay's and, you know, exactly. A Capri Sun, exactly. You know? And the thing is, you don't have to eat like that. And no. You don't, like, you can choose to get out of that. But It's crazy that you went from eating hot Cheetos in Arizona for breakfast to become a natural farmer and going on. So keep going with that point because I'm curious. I didn't know all this. I'm learning something too.
So we pioneered this urban farming movement in Detroit. We are the family, my family. We pioneered it. We are the people who paved the way for it because we linked up with D-Town Farms. We linked up with Growing of Detroit. And we started this network of urban farmers. And then we started doing cooperatives, like just basically farm tours. And we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Detroiters doing these farm tours. And they going around the city, going, stopping at every urban farm in the city because they want to see what an urban farm actually looks like. And then...
Because people from the hood definitely don't know what a farm looked like.
No.
There's some people who never even left a block.
This is totally different for somebody from the circumstances that we come from. This is totally, totally, totally. This is not even something that you can think of, my brother. Like, it's like, what? You was a black man in Detroit full of hustlers. And you hustling off of fruits and vegetables, my nigga?
For real. I can only imagine what the people in the hood was doing. Like, Farmer Jack.
Boy, they getting roasted every day, but it's cool. Like, we had rabbits in our backyard. Like, that was at our personal house, though, the house that we was squatting in. This is after we met the landlord. We had rabbits. We was going up the block. We had some mean rabbits, though. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Rabbits.
Yeah, our rabbits was like some killer rabbits, I feel like. They was some killer rabbits. Let me tell you, one of them, you try to feed it. As soon as you put your hand in there, it'll act like a pit bull. Like, for real.
Every day.
Every day. It didn't matter. It was acting like a pit bull. Like, the rabbit thought it was a dog. I promise you.
That's crazy. How many rabbits have you feel like you had at the most?
We had 6 cages. So at times it'd be 2 per cage, and at times it'd be 1 per cage. So we had between 12 to 24 rabbits.
How big were they?
They were about, I'm not going to say 10 pounds. Well, they probably were about 10 pounds. I can't really just say what size.
But they're pretty big. They weren't little rabbits.
They weren't no little rabbits. They're
bigger rabbits than you see just walking around.
Yeah, like they were some pretty hefty rabbits, like for real though. But outside of that, what we did with our urban farming was we had like 3 farms around the east side. And we had 2 farms on the east side. We had 1 farm out in the suburbs in Waterford. And because we knew this family that let us use, they had like 2 acres behind their house, and we turned that into a farm. And so for income, what we did was we did 7 farmers markets per week because we sold all summer long. Farmers market season is from May to October. So from
farmers markets,
yes,
May to October. What does that mean? That's when you can sell everything you grow. Or?
In Michigan, that's when it get warm, so people can start doing farmers markets again. Okay. And because it get cold in Michigan, we got a hard winter. So like, we did 7 markets. Like literally every day at 5 a.m., I was waking up to go to a farmers market.
It was like, it was just a place where farmers just meet to buy stuff?
Or? No. Farmers market is the Easter market.
Oh, like Easter market. Okay. Yeah.
Where farmers go to sell their produce so you can actually get a farm to table. You can meet your farmer instead of going to a grocery store and going to buy some produce, but you don't know who even produced the produce. So it's like, now you can meet who actually produced your produce.
So, oh, I get what you're saying. So that's where you can go and you buying all the meat. So basically, I don't know. When I was in New York, I don't know. They probably do got stuff. It's just like a market where you just buying straight from the farm instead of going to like Kroger.
Yeah.
Or like people in other states that don't got a Kroger. Just like a Walmart or something like that. They got food where you buy them at.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. So with that came about. And then tell me about the pigs thing.
So
unless you were done with the farming.
Yeah, well, that was just the inner city. So now we wanted to expand. And my mom's partner, Cornelius, the dude who brought me in, is also my mom's boyfriend. He has land in the southwest part of Michigan called Cassopolis, Michigan. And so I've been going there since I was 8 years old. So I've been there plenty of times, and I've seen the land plenty of times, and I love it out there because the country is free. Ain't no rules. You ain't got to worry about getting shot. You ain't got to worry about fighting. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You in the middle of some woods. So he has about 161 acres. And so what we did was we moved from Detroit when I was going to the 7th grade. So we moved from Detroit to Cassopolis. And that's when we were doing crop farming. And we were doing crop farming on a large scale, on an agronomic scale, not just a little 1 acre lot or not even 1 acre, like 0.2 acres of a lot. And we're doing 161 acres of farming, and we had 2 hoop houses. But I've been doing crop farming since I was 8 years old forcefully. And this was when my rebellious stage started to kick in. And I started to rebel against my parents. And I was like, you know what? Skip this. I ain't doing crop farming no more. I'm about to go start a pig farm because my mama don't eat pork. So this is the perfect way to rebel.
That was your whole idea?
Yeah. So look, I would have started a pig farm, and I found one black dude who was doing pigs in this little town because it's like 50% white, 50% black. And the black people were just getting on me because I was a farmer, and I'm from Detroit, and I'm a farmer, and they from the country, and they don't even farm. So what you farming for?
Right. What farm this boy right here?
This here is a...
It's a weird one.
It's a weird one right here, baby. But I wouldn't start in my pig farm. What I did was I went and found the best pig farmer in the actual state who was in our county. And I went and worked for him because I knew how much, because I was showing pigs too, because I get like $3,000 off one pig in a show. And outside of selling at market price.
What you mean $3,000 at a show? Hold up.
Okay.
What's the new hustle? This healthy, wealthy, happy. What?
So the hustle in the ag world for children, for youth, it's not even for youth. The hustle in the ag world, period.
It's like Tiger King stuff.
Like, real talk. Like, the hustle in the ag world is doing shows. The hustle in the ag world actually doesn't come from selling produce, even though that's its own hustle. But as far as meats go, the hustle is doing shows and doing fairs and showing your actual animals. Like, you've seen a dog show on TV. They got the same type of show for a pig, but they got market and they got showmanship. Showmanship is how well your pig is trained and how domesticated your pig is to you. Market is how well does your pig's carcass look? Is it a healthy carcass? Does it have a fat booty? Does it got a little rounded belly? Does it got good stocky hams? Like, how does your carcass on your pig look? What's the meat look like? Like, what's the weight of your pig?
What it look like?
You feel me? And so when it comes down to it, I probably out of pigs, I made close to $7,000 a year. But for a 16-year-old, that's
not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Just in a couple of days, though. So you go to the, it's kind of like a Tiger King where like he had the little cub. And you would go kind of show whatever animal it is people pet and they pay you, or no. Or do you go to like actual competition and they pay you because they like, man, this is a one piece of hand.
You go to actual competitions and you can win competitions, but the competition that you actually sell at is at the end of the year, because at the end of the year that's when fair season is, and that's when county fairs come. And so you can sell your pigs at other shows if you choose to. But for me, my big show was the fair. Because I could never go to, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say it's racist, but it's racist. Because I was highly educated, and everything that I do, I did intense research on. So I knew it like the back of my hand. And so every time it would come to me as far as getting pinned, I'll get like third place, or I'll get pinned third to win the grand champion or the master prize or to win the big money. I always get placed. And it's people that's been showing for years and never been placed in their life. And this little black boy come his first time ever doing something like this, and he's placing. I placed from the very first time I ever showed. Nobody's ever, it's a lot of people that can't say they've done that. And they've been doing this for 50 years.
Wait, like, hold on. There's, like, a group of people who grow farm animals, and, like, there's a competition about who can make the coldest one.
Do you know, it's just like breeding pit bulls. Anything. It's the same thing. Who has the best bloodline? There are sires, which are male pigs, who get sold. Boars, like the farm that I work at, he bought that boar for $50,000 based off of his bloodline.
$50,000?
There's pigs out here worth $1 million, bro.
The
they selling sperm for about $500 per, just a little dosage, like a little spray nozzle bottle full of sperm, bro.
No way, bro.
Yes,
I had no idea,
bro. This agriculture get lit. They out here hustling.
Got some cow sperm for you for the
real talk though.
$200.
Real talk though, like if the bloodline is right and it got the right genetics. It's just like anything else. It's money that's going to get poured into it because people have that high passion for it. Like that's why I say it's just like any other hustle. It's just an agricultural hustle. And that was my agricultural hustle. While everybody else out here worried about how they going to make money, they worried about getting a job at McDonald's, I'm worried about one thing. I'm worried about my pigs and how well my pigs are doing. Because I know in 3 months, when them pigs has finally reached 280 pounds, that's my payday. I ain't got to work at McDonald's.
280 pounds?
Yeah.
How much can you sell a cow? You know what? We're going to talk about the end part with the other growing stuff, but you got me interested with this whole pig thing and whole agriculture. So let me get this right. You can grow these pigs. They get big, like 280 pounds, and you can sell them from like how much? On average.
Well,
just give people like an idea, understand.
So there's different types of ways you can sell pigs. Okay, the first way is just if you're buying and selling pigs for market. So buying and selling pigs for market is literally buying a pig, getting it to a certain weight, taking it to the market and selling it for market price, which is already set. But it fluctuates. Like, for instance, right now, a pig might be only $1.50 per pound. Well, pork might be on the pork, standardized pork rate might be only $1.50 per pound. So that means when I go take my pig that I just raised for about 3 months and I take it to market, I'm only going to get $1.50 times however much, times the weight of the pig. So if the pig weighs $280, do that math real quick. So $1.50, 1.50 times 280.
420.
So I only get $420 off one pig.
So, but boy, you came up there like 10 pigs.
What then? You that's get that's 420 times 10.
Dang. That's like, a good hustle.
You don't know that, though, because Okay, you looking at it from the end.
You think
right.
it's a good
yes,
hustle.
You think it's a good hustle.
What's the scoop? What's the cons?
The cons is how much are you actually putting into the feed of the pig? Because everybody got specialty feeds and got all this. Oh, I got to put this in there. I got to put in that in there. So you might spend 10 bands just trying to feed the pig to get it to market. And then when you get to market, you only break even with 10 bands.
What? You got to invest in it. That makes sense, yeah.
Like, it's an investment. Animals.
And you got to put them somewhere.
Yeah, then you got to think about, okay, how much, yeah, like, exactly. You got to think about how much did it cost to house this pig? How much did it cost on electricity? How much did it cost in vaccines? Because it's still an animal. They need to get vaccinated. How much did it cost to get them dewormed? How much did it cost to that vet ticket? How much did that cost?
What's deworm?
Deworm. So animals get worms, and they get them regularly. They get,
you know, humans get worms too, right?
Yeah, we get worms too, but
most humans probably got worms in them.
I know. Like, their intestinal.
In their intestines.
Intestines, they get worms. And the worms are going to cause them to lose weight. And it's going to take away from their weight. So every, like, 2 months, twice in the season. I did it twice in the season. It depends on when you get the pigs, but every 2 times in the season, they need to get dewormed. That means you get some dewormer, you put it in their food, you let them eat it. You just mix it in there, and they just...
What is it? They basically shit it out.
Basically.
Uncontrollably.
It's not going to be uncontrollably, but they are going to shit out the worms. The worms are going to die. It's not going to take away from their ending body weight and their fat rate. So
that's crazy.
That's a beauty.
What's another interesting or crazy thing that happened in the farm world? And then, like, because I also want to tell people about, like, certain hustles they can get into that they may not have known of. Because the school ain't never taught, like, all the stuff you're talking about, like, we never really learned nothing really about farming. I don't recall learning about how to raise animals. I don't recall nothing about the whole business of farming or, like, information on how to farm. Like, I guarantee you, most people right now, if we had a competition, we told, you know, 100 listeners to go farm, I guarantee you, like, 80 of them would not even know what to start with. I mean, obviously, people know put the seed in the soil and water it, but other than that, got no idea. Or how deep to put the seed in the soil. Like, there's a lot of parts of it. What kind of soil are you using?
I'm going to put it in this term right here. Agriculture is a vast industry. So it's like every other industry. It needs a little bit of everything. And with every problem and every solution in this earth, it's just like this. If you can find a problem and you know how to fix it, you got to hustle. Soil. Soil is a big hustle.
I met a millionaire who was an excavator. I met him in New York, and all he did was move dirt from one location to another location.
Exactly.
And he was a multimillionaire.
Exactly.
Going to the Jimmy Fallon show. Shout out to him. You know where you at? My man's in Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
I didn't even know. I'm like, you from where? Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan.
But he was cool, man. I knew he had bread because he's like, yeah, I just came back from the Jimmy Fallon show. I'm like, what? Like, on the stage? Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Because we was at this conference I met him at. Cool guy. Him and his wife,
what
actually.
What type of conference?
It was like an entrepreneur conference with a whole bunch of, like, tech guys.
Damn, I don't have to go to a conference like that.
Yeah. Guys making, like, millions of dollars.
Nah, just... for real. I need to hit one of these conferences.
Oh, yeah. You'll meet all type of interesting people. I knew he was a millionaire, a little side story, but because he was basically the guy was asking, like, who here knows what an accredited investor is or who here is an accredited investor? And, like, no one knew. Like,
I know the accredited investor is. That's my goal.
It's sad, bro. Like, we in a room of so-called entrepreneurs and business people, and there's, like, 200, 300, 400 of it. And that's when he was like, y'all niggas, excuse me. He's like, y'all don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? He was like, but, basically, when he asked, like, if your net worth is over, like, $1 million or you make over $250,000 per year on your taxes, you know, you are therefore, like, considered
your
to
network,
be in
a... Your net worth only has to be $300,000.
Is it $300,000 or is it...
$300,000.
Oh, you got to make $300,000.
You got to... Well, I'm sorry.
You got to make...
You might be right on that net worth.
You got to be worth $1 million or make $350,000, something like that.
You got to have $300,000 liquid.
Liquid.
Not including,
or a net worth of $1 million.
Yeah, not including your estate.
Not including your house.
Just,
yeah,
you
that's
gotta
true.
Have to have $300,000 that you can just.
$300,000 you can just what?
You can just, you gotta have $300,000 you can just.
Put
do,
up cash.
You can just bring it out and just be like, here, not I got enough. This on the table. And you know, this $300,000 ain't gonna do nothing to me. It's just an investment.
All yeah, right. Money put up. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So basically, when he said that and he asked, like, who here, like, meet those qualifications, a man put his hand up and he was like, he was right in front of me. So I'm like, what the frick? So we started talking. Actually, he was right in front of me. That's how I knew. And then this was probably 5 years ago. And then we started talking. That's when I figured out what he was doing. And I asked him what he was doing. And I'm like, excavation? What the frick is that? I had no idea what it was. But he was actually in what we'll talk about in the next podcast. He was also interested in that, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So let's also... So we basically talked about the pigs, the farming, the business of side of it, and then, like, basically eating healthy. Could you, like, dive in a little bit about, like, how drastic and bad regular food and meat and how they make it is compared to how more organic farmers and real farmers do it?
Okay. Well, so basically everything that we get is enhanced. It's enhanced with chemicals. And
like everything, like what, like I got bread, our food,
like,
well, yeah, you're right. Even water got BS.
I would say, yeah, even water is enhanced. Everything that you, any label that you read is going to have all types of extra chemicals. Like, it's just like our drinks with this high fructose syrup. And, like, it doesn't really need it, but it's just an extra sweetener, but it's unhealthy for the body.
What does it do? Like, so people understand. So people, like, can understand. And then, like, list some things that people should avoid. So we give them some, like, practical knowledge that they can take away. But, like, these are some highly things. These are items that I should definitely avoid in food. I know some, but I want to hear, you know, from the horse's mouth.
I say, well, I don't really have any off the top of my head.
But that's one of them for sure.
I'm going to have to. Yeah, high fructose corn syrup for sure. It's just, that's just something you just want to. Yellow dyes, like
any type of dye,
any type of dye,
red 40 in the your favorite, like, hot Cheeto,
yeah, like that. You need want to stay away from that, like,
because that's hot, all chemical,
yeah, it's all chemical, but
made in the lab.
At the end of the day, you don't really know what's in the food nowadays, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you just it's hard to know unless you know the farmer.
Unless you want to get whacked.
So I don't really want to get into the what should you stay away from.
Right.
What is what you should do. What is the proactive way around eating? So the proactive way around eating is basically it's feeding the body, not based on the body being hungry, but feeding the body based on nutrition, based on what vitamins, what minerals, and different supplements the body needs to actually eat. Instead of going and eating two burgers and being full for 10 minutes and then be hungry 10 minutes later. And then you like, man.
You mean sleepy? Like go taking a nap?
No, I mean being eating the actual burger and then being hungry right after you be a full for about 10 minutes. Then that fullness go away. Now you're hungry all over again. It's because you didn't feed your body the right nutrition. Like if you feed your, if you can eat a small plate of just the right stuff. You can have some nuts, some greens, and you can even throw a piece of meat on there. But as long as you replenish your nutritional levels in your body and you fed your body the right stuff and the right available nutrients, you will be full. That will probably last you a long time. I don't know how long is a long time, but it can last you for at least 4 hours. Because you're supposed to eat every 4 hours.
Every 4 hours.
Technically. If you're an active human being, you're supposed to eat every 4 hours. So I would say everybody needs to practice a couple things. They need to practice as far as eating healthy, growing their own foods. And if you don't have the means or you don't have the drive or you don't even have the want to grow your own food, find somebody who wants to grow their own food
and
link up with them.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that person, go to your local farmer's market and find somebody who you can actually go see their farm or you can go see their garden, which they're producing the produce with, or go find you a community garden and link up with them.
How you do that? Like go on Google, just Google community farms Or like that's there's a, Facebook groups out
that's
there.
A way. There's Facebook groups. There's Instagrams. There's people on Twitter. People.
How'd you meet the people you know?
See,
that was you just knew.
Yeah, I'm a little different because people just want
to. You because it's just what you do.
It's just what I do. Like when you're actually in the industry, it's different meeting people from somebody who's an actual consumer of the industry. Because I'm not just a consumer of the agricultural industry. I am actually the industry. So it's a difference between me and somebody who's a consumer.
It's crazy to me because it's like an inner city kid who farm, like you've always stuck out to me. Because I'm like, man, I don't know nobody who really farms like that or know anything about farming. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, people like somebody, grandma or your, you know, some one of your friends' moms or uncle have, you know, does a little, like a little farm outside. Not a farm, but a little garden.
Yeah.
Like, I know people do gardens, but real, like, big farming or having animals and stuff like that, I met very few people. And if they did, they just had chickens or something.
Yeah.
Like, one or two chickens.
Yeah. You know? Oh, something about that, too. Like, I say that you can't really gauge what you should eat, what's the chemicals you should stay away from. Because it's a lot of harmful chemicals that we eat in abundance. That when I say abundance, if you don't know what abundance means, that means you eat a lot of. and have no idea the actual impact it's having on your body. The harmful impact that it's having on your body. Like, a lot of the times, it can just, for fruits and vegetables, it can be specifically what they have sprayed on the fruits and vegetables. Their pesticides that they have sprayed on the fruits and vegetables before they give it to you. And they didn't give it an exit time to actually basically dissipate off of the fruits and vegetables so it wouldn't be harmful or toxic to the human body. So that's why I say, it's just know your farmer.
Know your farmer, for sure.
If you can figure out how to know your farmer, and I know it sounds like a lot of work, but if you ever, you got to get past that as a human being, that this, oh, that's a lot of work. Man, bump that.
Hey, to be honest, like, it'd be very wise to know where your food is coming from, because most of your time, you gotta eat.
If you care about your Jordans being real and it actually coming from Jordan, care about what you put in your body.
You should make sure your steak real and it's real beef.
Right? That's what you need. George is not something that's feeding your brain, something that you actually need, something that you need energy. Oh, you don't need no Jordan. No Jordan gonna give you no energy. Jordan ain't gonna replenish the nutrients in your body.
But the commercial said...
It make you fly high, huh?
I can fly like Jordan.
Nah, if you eat the right fruits and vegetables, you can fly like Jordan.
Real sir, right. Ain't gonna tell you that. By these leather shoes made in Indonesia by this Chinese kid named Wu Hong Jong.
Because before Jordan was Jordan, he wasn't wearing no Nike. He wasn't wearing no good shoes like that. I bet you his shoes had holes in them.
Right. But you know, he ate good.
He ate good, though. He ate that good soul food.
And going to food, like, I don't know if people know, but, you know, I've been noticing, like, Kim Kardashian, Kanye went vegan. Jay-Z, Beyonce went vegan. Who else? Cam Newton went vegan. Mm-hmm. Stop eating meat, eating cleaner. Arnold Schwarzenegger stopped eating meat. He went vegan. There's another UFC fighter. Went plant-based. So a lot of people are going like plant-based, or they're being healthier, more like health conscious. Like, I had no idea. Like, when I was in high school, man, we was eating McDoubles and McChickens every day.
And we were fine.
But now, man, me and all my boys be talking, like, when we try to eat McDouble or McChicken,
can't eat it.
Like, we just,
I can't eat it either.
We on the toilet for weeks, bro. Like, to the point, like, we thought we about to die. And it's like, I'm like, how do I used to live on this? Like, either they didn't change the ingredients or something going on, man. It ain't real chicken. There's no way there was been them big chicken sandwiches for $1.
No, what? Big chicken so far. But nah.
What you know about Tyson? You know about how they raise their chicken and meat? And like, you know that when that movie came out, like, what the hell? Like, I stopped eating meat for a little bit when that came out for a couple months. Like, what you know about
I'm gonna tell you the truth
animal
about
cruelty
Tyson.
And all that.
I'm not gonna say animal cruelty.
The spicy stuff, man.
But I'm gonna get into the nitty gritty. Let me tell you.
Dirty stuff. The negative stuff. That's what people learn.
So there's this big argument about farm-raised, free-range chickens and cage chickens. So your cage chickens is more the laying chickens, or the chickens that be, they literally put them in this dark barn and they just pump them with hormones. Because with America, the problem is, it's not even with America, with the world and America. The problem is we have a shortage of food, but we have a growing economy. So how do you feed this growing economy?
And you like population? Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. Population. The growing population.
Which grows the economy. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. But so how do you feed these people? So they figured out if you can produce things at a faster rate and you can figure out how to do that, you can feed the economy or the world or the population or the people, whatever you want to say, you can feed them. And so with Tyson chicken, what they do is they pump them with hormones and they just have them eat every day. Like some, a lot of these chickens, as you've seen, I've seen them in real life. A lot of these chickens can't walk because their upper body weight is too heavy for their little chicken legs.
I know some humans like that.
Like, real talk. Like, they've been pumping hormones, eating KFC every day. Like, that's just how...
That's why they raise
legit
cages. That's why...
Yeah.
What they call it, free cage.
Free range.
Free range chickens are a lot more expensive.
Yeah. Because
they get to run around and, like, eat normal grass and stuff and worms.
They can eat whatever they want to eat.
So they normal.
They just normal chickens. And they have a normal rate of build to their body. Like, so a free-range chicken, it might take, I think chickens take about 2 months to go from hatchling to full adult chicken ready to harvest. Take about 2 months. That's regular chickens. Now you got cage chickens getting pumped with hormones. It might only take 2 to 3 weeks from hatch to harvest. Like, that's how much, like, they
that's
pump
how quick
them. That's how quick so, they producing meat now. Like,
and here's the problem with, you know, like, in a business point of view, you got one farmer. He spending 2 months growing chickens the right way because he ain't trying to kill people and feed them fake chicken.
And he's actually giving you quality.
Quality chicken. And he's trying to charge more because he got to feed them more because... Now you got to feed the chicken instead of 3 weeks. You got to feed them for 2 months plus, right?
Yeah, and this is a longer
that costs
rate of time.
More. And he not going to the market quicker than the other guy who's just banging them out. So, like, it's just no way for a guy who's doing it the right way to compete. So, I guess a lot of companies end up being like, well, everybody else doing this BS chicken, I guess I'm going to do it too, which is...
Yeah, you got to adopt. You got to conform.
And
that's the rule of business.
You got to conform. Yep, yeah, you're right. And that's why... Like, farmers like you and your family and people like that, I appreciate it because I'm good. Just because y'all want to make money, I ain't about to die any quicker and eat some fake hormone chicken and then get some type of weird cancer and you know what I'm saying? I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I don't know that diabetes, none of that fake nothing.
Yeah, it's,
so
it's like there was
what's another one? Like, what's it? Because that's crazy. I didn't know they pumped them up that quick.
Another what?
Oh, you know about clones? Clone meat? I heard about clone meat.
Oh.
I heard they be cloning meat. Is that like, how they clone meat?
Oh, same.
I know you can clone your pet dog.
It's the same way that you clone a plant. You take a piece of it, or you get some cells, or you get some flesh, and you incubate it, and you, it's called tissue culture, and you put it through this tissue culture process, and basically you do that a few more times. Now you got your clone meat. I can't really give you an in-depth about cloning meats. I ain't
that's
never did it.
That's my class. That's some that's Tyson some, chicken level 10.
That's
level 10.
1090X. Right there. That's
the hidden meat. That's the meat that we have.
You got to be able to...
The weird islands.
To walk in a board meeting for that meeting because
right.
I still don't fully understand what they are doing.
But all we know is people is eating clone meat
they
for sure.
Some clones. I don't know. They cloning cats and dogs now. I think I was watching. They clone people too. But I was watching 2 Chainz' little show on Facebook, and he was talking about a clone cat. and the clone cat cost $25,000 to, no, the clone cat cost $50,000 to clone. But if you want to clone a dog, just because it's a little bit more, it's a more strenuous process and it's a little bit more harder to clone a dog. I ain't going to say harder, but difficult to clone a dog. That cost almost $75,000 to $100,000 to clone a dog.
Wow. Well, people doing that, they don't want their dog to die. My little shih tzu to die, so they clone the same one.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What's another like crazy tidbit you know about like the whole farming and food industry that people should know that they wouldn't know? It ain't gonna be on no CNN or Fox 2 News.
Majority of your food is GMOs, which is genetically modified organisms. And just because, I'm going to say this.
Genetically modified organisms?
Yes.
What they were fed, or is these like steroids pumped into them?
Genetically modified organisms is basically they modify the genetics to combat a problem. Say, for instance, so corn. I'm going to use corn because 80% of corn on the market, no matter if it's the food market or the animal market, are genetically modified. And so say that a corn crop goes through drought and it droughts really easy. Say it doesn't get a, when I say drought really easy, that means it doesn't get a sufficient amount of rain. Say it stops raining for a good 2 months and it doesn't have another water source. But they made this plant, they didn't genetically modify, they didn't took a gene from a cactus that goes through drought really well because it's from the desert and it doesn't need much water to live. But then you got a piece of corn that needs a lot of water, or just a moderate amount of water to live. And so you put this gene from the cactus inside of this gene to the corn, and when they mix and they mutate, then you get this GMO corn. We're going to call this Corn X. And this Corn X, it can grow and it can get rain and then don't get no more rain for the rest of the season, but it got this cactus gene in it. So it can live and still grow off of the corn, off of the rain it got 2 months ago.
That's crazy. What?
That's what a genetically modified food is.
So they really changed the genetic. Oh, that makes sense.
It's called genetic splicing. There's a couple methods. You got. Well,
also, I'll tell them, we forgot to tell them that you got your whole degree thing. So So they get some understanding that you went to school for this. Tell them the degree you got.
Oh, I got a degree in plant soil science. My bachelor's in plant soil science.
Okay, just so they know the context, because this is what you actually study.
Yeah.
Been to the farms, done it.
Yeah.
We don't do no flugazes on healthy, wealthy, happy. Okay?
Nah.
But so you said they were doing what? Splicing?
It's called gene splicing. That's what genetically modified organisms are. It's just like everything has its own DNA code. Mm-hmm. Everything. Any living organism has its own DNA code. Even twins, they have similar DNA codes that's almost identical, but something in their DNA code changes them. That's what makes them two different people, even when they look the same. And sometimes they might act 80% of the same, but it's going to be that one thing that's different amongst them. And so everything has a DNA code. So what genetically splicing is, it's literally a genetic scissors. It goes in and it cuts out, say you got an ADCCN ADCNCNAD. They're going to cut out a C in the N and they're going to put an E and an F in there.
And mix it up and then make sure it flows.
And they make sure it serves the purpose for which you just modified it to be. But it still serves that purpose. Like, say, like I said, drought. Yeah, I just took out a C and a D and I just added an E and an F because the E and F is, that's the drought resistant part of the gene. And I just added it to this, the genes of this corn. And now I have this new drought resistant corn that's on the market.
Like, man, you better chill out. You about to get murked by one of these big companies out here.
If they gonna kill me, let them kill me.
Hey, you gotta let people know, because now I'm like, wow, they really like, bro, I know you basically my whole life, I didn't know none of this. Like, I'm pissed. Like, I didn't know they did that with corn. I thought they were just adding, like, something to the water, like, add some, like, something to make it bigger. I'm like, you over here talking about, they over here taking DNAs and mixing strands and mixing it with a cactus.
It's like some fruits and vegetables, they are genetically modified with animal genes. And they're genetically modified with,
what?
But you got to understand, every living organism, we're all composed of the same 16 components.
Same 16?
Yes, there's 16 organic components that every human being is composed of. Every living organism, even trees, that we all compose. It's just they're configured and assorted in different ways, which makes all of us different in our own individual race or our own individual ways.
like groups of like family genetics. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap it up, give me like one health thing that everyone should do or something they should do or eat that's extremely healthy for them or like a principle led by, and then give like a food or chemical that people should stay away from. You can give one or a couple. And then like your favorite book. How about that? We'll do that.
Okay. So first, the principle that I live off of is food is thy medicine. And when I say food is thy medicine, I personally don't tell nobody, but I don't do pharmaceuticals and I ain't never had a shot in my life. I am the purest being that you would ever.
Malaria shot? No, nothing.
No, nothing. And I don't have nothing. Never had nothing.
Never had the flu.
I don't even get sick. I had the flu one time. But after that one time, I don't get sick no more.
So you only been sick once in your life.
I am a natural. You got to understand, the strongest body, Darwinism, only the strong survive. If you keep implementing all of that stuff that's man-made and given to you, it's made to weaken your body because any problem or implication that you have is money. Because if you have a problem, you got to go get it cured. You got to go to the doctor. They got to prescribe a pill.
Oh,
it's money.
I see the great finesse. The great finesse is...
It's creating.
It's create BS food.
Yeah.
With no nutrient. Eat it for a while. Eat the food. Eat the trash. Get sick. And stay in the health system.
Exactly.
To keep getting healed and taking prescriptions.
Exactly.
That don't exactly cure. That's why you never hear no ads or never on the news, even this coronavirus, anything about raising your immune system, eating healthier, exercise. All they talking about is vaccine, which in other words is money. Because
you are the vaccine. You in the earth. God placed everything that you need, every medicine on this earth that anybody or being needs. Like every time somebody, like just think about it. Dr. Fauci, the dude over this whole pandemic thing, in 1982, there was a world-renowned doctor. I forgot her name. I have to go get her name and come back to you with that. But it's a world-renowned doctor. She's from America. She came up with the cure with influenza within the first year. When I said, now I'm not saying a vaccine, because vaccines only can prevent the problem. It's a preventative. It's not a cure. It's not a never come back. She came up with a cure for HIV. And then she came up with a cure for influenza.
Mm-hmm.
Within the same year.
I think somebody sent me a video on that, but keep going.
And Dr. Fauci took the cure and patented it. And he has the cure. Because you got to understand, if they come up with a cure, that's a lost source of income. You come up with a cure for cancer. Cancer is almost a $1 trillion industry. The cure for cancer is almost a $1 trillion industry. You honestly think they've been finding a cure for cancer for 15 years, you a fool.
every year, we got to spend another $800 billion to find the cure. Y'all getting results? No, we need about 2 more billion.
No.
And we almost there. It's one, we got the missing link. We just need a couple more billions.
So
why you in a jet right now?
Yeah.
We having breakfast at the having a breakfast meeting.
Yes.
Oh, y'all flying the jets. Well, it's just better. We wanted to save time and get to meet. We got to meet. It's important.
You got to meet. They ain't meeting about nothing.
Nothing.
They already got the cure. They just like, well.
They say, how much we want to raise this year?
Well, let's hit our target. And then once we hit our target, we'll hit them with a vaccine.
We're going to weaken. We're going to make it. put out the weak version.
I was like, because y'all don't.
We're going to put out the XD version.
Y'all don't think it's weird how we're in a pandemic and they saying that everything needs to shut down, but they're asking for donations to find a vaccine. But in reality, everybody in the whole world is affected. So the economy should literally shut down and put all of this work together
to fix
the virus. Y'all don't think that's weird? Like, they're still trying to make money. Like, even the fact that you got a $1,200, do you know that you wasn't given $1,200 because of whatever, you get given $1,200, you're $1,200 in debt. Because next year, when your income taxes come out and you figure out why you got to pay $1,200, remember to this time right here when you took that $1,200 bait for them to, you're a taxpaying citizen. Skip that. You just gave up you just went $1,200 in debt for nothing.
Hey, so we got to pay that back?
Yeah, you got to pay that back.
I lost it. Man, I lost it. No, I just play. No, IRS, I'm completely playing. That's one people I don't mess with. They even took out Capone. IRS, whatever I owe you, I do solemnly swear I will pay you. Every cent you owe. I want no smoke.
I want no beef with you.
No beef with the IRS. I'll be with the government for the IRS. But IRS, you got every dollar you owe. Yes, sir. But I definitely see what you're saying. Oh, did we say what the state away from?
No, I don't think we said what.
What's like the biggest thing? Is it GMO food?
No, I'm not gonna say GMO food because you don't really know what's GMO food. Like, because even natural based foods is GMO food. So that's why I say I can't say stay away from GMOs. But only thing I can really tell you is stay away from high fructose. Stay away from processed sugars. Stay away from too much salt.
What's the processed sugar, like sodium? What's the name on the bottle so they can, like, you know, for the little hood kids listening that don't know that potato chips are made out of potatoes and think they made from Lay's. We love you, Pookie.
We do. We love you because I am you, Pookie. I'm Bebe. I'm Bebe the kid. You sitting right here. I'm just an adult now. I'm mature.
They came up
for real. But it's so many, and they all got so many big names. I really can't just... The only one I could tell you right now off the top of my brain is just high fructose corn syrup.
And I'll add one more. Modern sodium glutamate, because we talked about that.
Yeah.
Which is like MSG.
Oh, yeah, MSG. That's sodium. That's salt.
Preservative.
That's a processed salt, though.
Yeah, like, real salt.
But I will tell you this. Eat more fermented foods. Eat more fruit. Eat more vegetables. GMO, non-GMO. It don't matter. Just eat it. Eat more nuts like peanuts, cashews.
Natural.
Like, drink spring water. Just try to stay away from, like, purified water and stuff like that. Drink. Find if you can find you some spring water, drink it.
Some artesian water, stuff like that.
Yeah, like. I don't know much about this artesian and this Fuji, and because, you know, I was down in Mississippi, so we was down there drinking Ozark Trails water, and that was some spring water that came from Ozark, Texas, you feel me?
Everybody got to hustle.
Everybody got it. They hustling water.
Right. The finesse. We doing it wrong. These people go underneath a mountain, cap it and run. $2.
$2 a bottle.
$2 a bottle, finessing us. Man, I'll be by Essential. That'd be $3.99. I'd be feeling stupid.
Oh, but my favorite book.
Oh, favorite book. Oh, did we say what to stay away from the fruit? So what's the good fruit or vegetable that, like, is a good thing to eat? Consist a good, like, a mega fruit or vegetable?
A mega fruit is avocado.
Avocado?
Most people don't even know avocado is a fruit. But the fact that it bears a seed makes it a fruit. We're not talking about the taste. We're not talking about... Not every fruit is sweet. Like,
that's what I thought.
No, I thought every fruit was sweet, too. I said, that ain't no fruit. That ain't sweet. That is not the only characteristic of a fruit. It has to bear seeds. If it bears a seed, it is a fruit. For instance, tomatoes is a fruit. Avocados is a fruit. No matter what the taste is, the consistency or the texture, it is a fruit if it bears seeds.
I heard that. I heard tomatoes are fruit, but I didn't know why until now, because it has seeds.
Yeah, it has seeds. I'm sorry.
So potato is a vegetable because it don't got seeds.
Potatoes is a vegetable, yeah, because it don't have seeds, but it's also a tuber.
What's a tuber?
Tubers grow underground. Like, potatoes grow underground. So, you know how some plants have roots. Instead of plants having roots, so tubers are garlic, onions. Well, garlic and onions, those are really bulbs. That's different. But then you got carrots, you got sweet potatoes, you got potatoes,
yams.
You got yams. Those are all classified as a tuber because they grow underground in the underground system. But they do have a green leaf that comes out the top, but I don't really know what we eat potato leaves for, but I bet you some indigenous people use it for some purpose, but the government trying to hide it because they got their own scheme on pharmaceuticals. But we ain't going to talk about that right now because I'm not trying to incriminate myself without even knowing I incriminated myself.
Which is against the law. But definitely. And then,
My favorite book, though.
To eat fruits, vegetables, anything natural.
Anything natural. Book. Oh, and if you don't like eating fruits and vegetables, make a smoothie. I put broccoli in my smoothies. Let me tell you, I make a majority fruit smoothie, but throw a little vegetables in there to give it that extra nutritional boost. And I promise you, it don't taste nothing like a vegetable. You don't even taste the vegetable.
That's true.
But it's good.
Green pasture smoothie from Panera. Shout out Panera. Endorse your boy.
What?
I drink them about 3 times a week.
Like, for real, though. But it got vegetables in it, and you would never know.
Yo, like them V8 drinks.
You would never know it had a vegetable in it because it tastes just like juice. Oh, like, man. For real, though. But my favorite book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Boom. Classic.
That is one of my favorite books. I mean, that's really, like, the only book I ever read, but...
Hey, tell how it is.
Hey, I ain't gonna sit here and lie to you.
Man, you went to college, stop playing. But I mean, I know what you mean.
In college, I wasn't even reading books. I was just, I did a lot of research, like, but it wasn't going through a book. Like, even though everything we did was out of the book, I ain't go read the book. Like,
right.
I only read the book when it was important. Like, okay, I had to. I wasn't much of a reader. I was like all my knowledge and experiences I come from firsthand real life experiences or from actual conversations with people who do it, just like you. When I wanted to learn about real estate, instead of going to learn about out of a book about real estate, I came to you because you have firsthand experience in real estate.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Well, that's the best way to learn. You don't exactly. Really learn from a book. You ain't gonna learn basketball by reading a book on basketball. You better go talk to Kobe and Michael, and they'll give you the scoop.
Give you the breakdown. And then they can show you the breakdown.
They show you.
They can tell you and show you. What's better than you killing two birds with one stone? They telling you something, which is
one form of
cognitive listening or a cognitive learning. And then they gonna show you. So you got visual learning on top of that. So it's hands-on. Right. It's like, what?
Bada bing, bada boom. So,
but yeah. That's my favorite book.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you hopping on here and basically sharing all that knowledge on the whole farming industry and growing your own food.
Hold on. Before we wrap this up, before we wrap this up, this is for anybody that is listening that believes the circumstance that was given to you, especially high schoolers, if I'm not even going to say black, if you are in high school, I don't care what race you are because I don't run by race no more. That was me when I was younger. I'm not going to lie to you. But if you are in a circumstance,
it's a Detroit thing.
Yeah. But whatever circumstance you come from, I'm going to break down to you my circumstance in high school. I'm poor for one. I have a 1.89 GPA for two. This is what I'm graduating high school with. I had a 16 on my ACT, a 19 on my highest ACT. So if you average that out, that's like an 18 and a half. I had no dreams or aspirations outside of living life at the time. Like, I didn't care about much. I didn't have much emotional support. So I didn't care about much, like real life. I knew how to make my money. I smoked weed, so I knew how to get my weed. I knew I liked smoking weed, and I knew I liked having sex. I love my women. I love them. That's all I knew. Like, that's all I knew. Like, that's all I knew. But then something hit me that you gotta want more from your life. Like, you gotta be able to outgrow and open your mind and outgrow your circumstance to be where you want to be and attach yourself with the people that you need to be around to get to the places where you need to be. So from that, I graduated college. I achieved almost every last one of my goals that I said I was going to achieve. I'm a published scientist. I was on the dean's list. That means you had a 3.62 GPA or higher. Never done that in my life. Never been an academic person. I told myself when I turned 21 years old, I was going to set foot in the cannabis industry. And I was going to go because my goal is to be a master grower in the cannabis industry. And so when I was 21, I went and got my job in the cannabis industry. I worked in Washington State for a two cannabis company. Shout out to them for giving me an opportunity. Well, shout out to my boy, what's that man name? I can't even think of his name right now, but shout out to him.
Right, we should write his name, man. But tell him about how many plants dude was working with.
Full scale, we was growing about 3,144 plants.
That's crazy.
Full capacity. 12 greenhouses. 12 greenhouses, 3,144 plants at full capacity. So
that's insane, bro. That's, I can't even imagine that.
For a hood ninja selling weight, you ain't had nothing. You ain't touched nothing.
That's thousands of pounds.
That you ain't, my fault. You ain't touched nothing.
You ain't seen nothing.
But the bottom
you
line.
You know it.
But the bottom line of what I'm trying to say is, I had a plan, and I attacked my plan like there was no other plan. There wasn't no plan B, because if plan A didn't work, nothing else worked. Oh, I also, another big goal, something that I did for the first time in my life when I was 21 years old, I traveled out the country. I went to Costa Rica to study agriculture, and my school paid for it, and they gave me $600 to go. If it wasn't for my dream, at 21 years old, I wouldn't have been out the country from the first time in my life. If it wasn't for my dream, I wouldn't have been in a lot of places. So don't never, ever, ever lose your dream. And don't ever think your dream is unattainable, because it's always attainable. It's always. When I went to college, when I was trying to figure out where I was going to go to college, and no other college was accepting me because I had a 1.89 GPA and I got an ACT score of a 16. And so I don't have nothing. I have zero. I have nothing to work with. I thought I was already a failure. I knew they wasn't going to accept me. But Alcorn, the school that I went to, they told me if I wanted to go to college, I need to take a test. And I needed to get into their summer developmental program. If I passed their summer developmental program, then they'll admit me to college. So I went on a Wednesday. And then I graduate. My grades is due by Friday, and I graduate on a Sunday. Actually, I went on a Monday. On Monday when I went, I got there Tuesday. I took the test Tuesday. You got to get an 80, 80, and 80 on English, reading, and math. I got 111 on my English. I got a 97 on my reading. And I got a 79 on my math. But just because I excelled in those other two categories, they admitted me right away. I begged them to put me in a summer developmental program, but they said I was too smart, so F them. But I love them at the same time. So I get home that Wednesday. I walked in the house. I'm literally walking my bag to my room, and a phone call comes in. It's my counselor at my school telling me I got 24 credits, but I need 25 credits to graduate. And she has to add two extra online classes to my online classes. And I got two online classes that I'm already currently taking. And I'm only at 50% at both of them. And it took me all year to get to 50%. And the grades is due in 3 days. So now I got four classes. I got two halfway done and two. I ain't even started yet. I ain't gonna lie to you. I went and bought an ounce of weed, and I went and bought 10 Adderalls. I swear to God.
Yeah, I was up.
I swear to God, I'm up like a crackhead. Like, I was literally up. From the time she said that, I put my bags down, I turned on my computer. I stayed. You can ask anybody in my life. Everybody that knows me knows this story because they was actually there. I stayed up for 72 hours or 3 days straight. I got done. The deadline was 3 o'clock. I finished everything by 6 o'clock that Friday. But they told me I couldn't walk with my class. But I was able to get my diploma. So I went and got my diploma. And that Sunday was graduation. I graduated. That night after graduation, I got on the road. And I started my first day of college that Monday. There was literally a 12-hour shift or a 12-hour break time between me ending high school and me going to college. So that's why I just want to say, anything and everything you want in your life is tameable. You can get it. Nothing is impossible. The only person that can stop you is you and your own mental mindsets or your own mental circumstances or your own mental walls. You need to break them and open yourself up to the world around you. Any opportunity that you have to travel outside of the United States, take it. Take it, take it, take it. Don't worry about all that extra stuff. Just take it. And I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to get to preaching in a second. So I'm going over and out. My name is Kwesi Huffman. I love y'all for real.
Hey, thank you, bro. That was one of the best intros we did have, man. That's what's going to the Hall of Fame. So we just want to appreciate everybody who invested their time to listen to this podcast. Please share and like with any of your friends and family that will also find value. This is Christian. I'm out of here. Love you guys. Take care. Thank you for listening to today's recording of Healthy, Wealthy, Happy. This is your host, Christian Shabi. And if you would like to stay in more contact with me and get to know me a little bit more, you can check me out on my YouTube channel, which is Christian Shabi. Let me spell that for you. C-H-A-B-I. And also, we have a website that you can also get phenomenal information, schedule a time to speak with me, one-on-one consultation, all that fun stuff, and get to listen and watch a few testimonials and check out my book, Something Ain't Right, which is all on my website, which is, guess what, also called ChristianShabi.com, www.ChristianShabi.com. All right? Thank you, and have a blessed day.